Chapter 9. Terror, the Imperial Palace. Vangarich knew that his rivals on the Senatorum, and even some of his friends, such that he possessed, had his apartments under surveillance. In recent days, it had come to the point where there was rarely a moment in which the agents of two or more lords wouldn't pass each other on the street. The increasingly erratic behaviour of the likes of Mesring and Zek had exacerbated matters. The staged attempt on Veritas's life had certainly not helped. Even at this early hour, the artificial twilight of the palace was thronged, the sun as removed from the reality of these people's own small lives as the love of the God Emperor of Man. There was the catering shift bound for the Imperial Fleet College of Strategy, extravagant in pressed white shirts and black tails. Talking quietly amongst themselves, they paused just outside the gated compound while one of their number crossed the street to buy a pack of loaves from the kiosk. Then there was the pretty young girl, 15, maybe 16, selling soap and devotionals from a stand beneath a humming bronze extractor unit. She smiled pleasantly, chatting to the workers gathered with their bowls under the electrical warmth. There was the street confessor, the work detail that had been picketed on top of the deactivated transformer substation for the better part of a week, the two-man unit assigned to the corner by the Adeptus Arbites to preempt that particular flashpoint, the scrivener hawking his services, the servitor detail carting steel barrels of imported water for the administratum silo in the neighbouring ward. By comparison, the street sweep, working around the Navy men's feet, was a little obvious, if only because it was such a classic. And if nothing else, Vangarich appreciated vintage. That was not to say there were not times when an out-of-the-way office deep in the labyrinthine quiet of the inner wards was appealing, but it generally suited him to be seen where tradition expected the Grand Master of the Officio Assassinorum to be. It kept everybody honest and prevented misunderstandings. And so it was that the appearance at the gate of a man of middle height, medium build, and middle years caused more of a stir than so nondescript an individual might rationally expect to generate. Vangarich was happy enough to let those agents make their reports, partly because it would be a phenomenal waste of energy to stop them all, but primarily because at the time that his body double was deactivating the security system, he was sitting quite comfortably in the 8th-level suite of a fortified tower overlooking Bastion Ledge, several lines of latitude away. The armor glass window offered a limited view of the water gardens and of the sunrise over the Imperial Palace. At least 2/3 of the offering, however, was taken by the automatic weapons arrays, surveillance jammers, and psychic null generators that cloaked the compound. The Inquisition was commendably zero tolerance in their attitude to security.
"Some wine?" he asked, leaning across the low-slung reception table and proffering the bottle.
"Thank you, sir. No," said Krul, raising his hand. "Never while I'm plotting."
Vangarich smiled and reset the bottle on the table. It had a yellowing label inscribed in a curling script too obtuse for Vangarich to make out. He doubted it was actually Terran, but it looked old. Rigil Centaurus, perhaps, or Prospero. The inquisitorial representative suite had suffered a reversion to the minimalist since Venan's brief departure. The soft furnishings had been retired or rearranged for more efficient effect. The priceless artworks and artifacts that had adorned the walls and tabletops were now warehoused in whatever vast silo the Inquisition must employ for such purposes. It was remarkable what a cull at the top could accomplish. He took a sip from his glass. Fruity. Woody. It smelled floral, the way he imagined a functioning ecosystem must smell.
"Where were we?"
"Mars, sir."
Vangarich knew that, of course. He had an eidetic memory, a product of extensive training and cognitive therapies, and of certain genetic gifts. The same could have been achieved with implants, but they had their own drawbacks. Keeping track of the Byzantine comings and goings of the Officio was not a simple matter of memory capacity in any case. It needed a human touch.
"How many operatives do we still have there?"
Krul picked up a slate from the several spread over the table between them.
"Redhaven Cadre, Saskeen Harst of Temple Vindicare, Mariezet Isolde of Temple Calidus, Clementina Yendel of Temple Vanus, Tybalt of Temple Eversaw, and Raznik of the Inquisition, if you choose to count him as one of ours.
He read on a way.
It looks like Yendel had managed to cultivate a useful resource on the Mechanicus project to replicate the Orc's teleportation technology before she lost contact. We're assuming the worst, I presume.
The official line from his supervisor is reassigned. Yendel's looking into it, but it's not the end of the world. Her pride is a little scratched, but there are other avenues of investigation underway.
Translating a planet, said Krul, lowering the slate and gazing out of the window. Damn, that would be a thing to see.
The trial data is all in Yendel's intelligence log. The so-called grand experiment is proving as much a dead end for Kubik as it is for us.
But if it could be made to work...
Krul let the implications hang. They were so encompassing, so fundamental, that it was difficult to take the necessary step back to see them. Assimilation of the Orcs' propulsion technology would strike at the very pillars of Imperial stability. With such a power, the Mechanicus would be able to move anything, anywhere. The Adeptus Astronomica would be no more. The Navis Nobilitae cast down at best, and persecuted by a vengeful Inquisition at worst. The fleets of Mars would render the Navy and the Chartists obsolete at a stroke. Schism, on a scale not seen since the Age of Strife. Vangorich nodded darkly.
Merely pointing out, sir, said Krul, breaking the somber mood, if this intelligence log were somehow to find its way onto Sark or Gibran's desk, then you'd have all the Senatorum backing you could want to take Kubik's head.
If it comes to it. But safer to keep something so inflammatory to ourselves, if possible. I gather that Haast and Isolde have managed to successfully integrate into Kubik's household on Mars. What about when he is here on Terra? Habits, and so on.
Krul picked up another report from the stack.
A creature of routine, as you'd expect. Getting to him shouldn't be an issue. The problem would be the windows available. He doesn't seem to sleep, keeps to public places by and large, and he's always accompanied.
He shrugged, apologetic.
They don't give much consideration to privacy.
What about when he travels?
Mechanicus lighter operating out of daylight spaceport. The Mechanicus provides their own pilots and ground crew as well as a Skitari cohort. Knowing the Mechanicus, it's probably better armed than it looks.
Vangorich conceded that with a slight tip of his glass.
Just how formidable is the Fabricator General, assuming that an example needed to be made?
Assuming?
Krul sat back, crossing his muscular arms behind his head along the back of the low couch, as comfortable in someone else's private space as only a man his size could be.
I could take him.
Have you ever killed one of the Mechanicus?
You'd know if I had, sir.
Vangorich smiled.
Have you, sir?
Krul asked. Vangorich considered a moment. No one else would have dared ask their Grand Master such a question. It mooted the possibility that no could be an answer. Another person might have raised it privately, out of concern for Vangorich's professional competence, but not Beast. He knew better.
No,
he admitted.
Do you want me to set things in motion?
Vangorich took a deep breath and shook his head, staring at the slush pile of slates, info logs, and reports. Selecting a member of the Senatorium Imperialis who had acted with sufficiently witless culpability to warrant death was not difficult.
It was, to borrow his favourite Navy aphorism, like launching a torpedo and hitting space.
No, the challenge, the surgical art, was to identify that member whose untimely removal would most effect improvement in the rest. He released the breath, slowly, deliberately. He massaged the stiffness from his neck.
Udo, he said after a few seconds, tell me about the Lord Commander.
Krul rummaged for the relevant slate, just as a minor earth tremor rattled the pile on the table. Only Vangorich's cat-like reflexes spared the Inquisition's carpet a wine stain. The hive quake lingered for a few seconds and then passed. Vangorich transferred his glass to the other hand and lapped wine from his wrist, then stood and moved to the window. An orange glare lit his face. A hab block was falling away from the palace skyline, gutted by the ignited gases that were spraying from its exposed ancient piping. Even through the reinforced armor glass, Vangarich could hear screaming. The long, hapless whine of toxins spread slowly across the imperial palace. Something had to be done. He turned to find Krul checking a security alert on his wrist chrono. Krul silenced the audio sounder, then drew a bulky plasma pistol from the concealed holster inside his jacket. He rose quickly and quietly from his chair, gestured to Vangarich to take cover behind the table, and moved out of line from the door, pistol raised and trained. Doing as he was bidden, Vangarich dropped onto one knee. He hooked one arm over the table, partially to shelter his face behind if it need be, and pulled the silenced, slender-barreled hell pistol he carried from his boot. He took aim at the door and glanced at the access panel on the wall beside it. An amber light was pulsing across the display, left to right and occasionally spiking in the middle, like a heart rate monitor. An intruder should have triggered a red alarm. Amber meant that someone with inquisitorial clearance had entered the suite, effectively placing the automatic weapon turrets and intruder denial systems built into every staircase and corner space into a temporary standby posture. Vangarich's office had all the specifications. The intruder had 90 seconds to provide the correct form of physical identification and the required codes to one of those access panels before things started to get anxious. The panel display turned to green and flatlined. Vangarich cleared his mind, stilled his heart. His field of view became the doorframe. There were, as his own interest in the matter proved, plenty of individuals on Terra with a motive and means to rid themselves of the Grand Master of the Officio Assassinorum. Vangarich doubted there was a security system built that the adepts of the Mechanicus could not break. Lansung and Veriolt undoubtedly commanded personnel with the skill set required to break a triple Aquila-rated secure facility, but neither struck Vangarich as desperate enough to try. The Ecclesiarchy, too, maintained a cadre of highly trained and conditioned operatives, and against the warp-touched abilities of the Navis Nobilitae and the Imperium-sanctioned Psykers, even the Inquisition's defences would come out second best as often as not. Were any of them the match of Beast Krul? Vangarich doubted it. The door handle dropped with a click, and the door swung open. Vangarich eased himself a little lower against the table and relaxed into the trigger. He angled his body for a headshot. Unless they were really, really good, he would get at least one shot. As it turned out, he didn't. With a hiss of air cyclers and magnetized joint hydraulics, Veritas strode through the open door. He came with a waft of cinnamon-scented oils and a hint, a disguised nasal sting, of preservatives. His cream-coloured power armour blinked with indicator lights and protective runes. It had been rubbed down with powdered silver and fluttered with freshly transcribed papyri. The inquisitorial representative's mummified face managed to express enough surprise to stave Angerich's hand.
Drakan! What are you doing in my apartments?
Veritas's voice was a dry wheeze, like a legacy recording from a scrivener cherub left to decay over 1,000 years of storage. Vangarich lowered his pistol to the table and stood as the door slid smoothly shut behind the Inquisitor. He shrugged.
It is the most secure location on Terra. So my aides were at pains to point out to me. If it helps, I was informed equally reliably that you'd not be returning from the Inquisitorial Fortress until tomorrow. An attack moon in orbit is just one more excuse for a slip in standards, isn't it?
Veritas smiled slightly, an odd, grisly reinterpretation of human amusement. He looked tired, Vangarich realized, more worn out than he had ever seen him. It was as if the inquisitorial representative had merely dropped by his suite with no grander intention than a few stolen hours of peace and quiet. Vangarich wondered if he still wore that armor, even when he thought he was alone.
"You are slipping, Drakan," said Veritas. "Udin MacDudo convened an emergency meeting of the High 12 last night." "He did what?"
Veritas glanced sideways at Krul. The assassin had lowered his plasma pistol, but only marginally.
"Have him put it away, Drakan. You have my assurance that I could do it for him just as easily?"
Krul raised an eyebrow, but nevertheless stowed and reconcealed his weapon at Vangarich's nod.
"Shall I leave you, sir?"
"Thank you, Krul."
Veritas peered down over the lip of his high gorget collar as Beast Krul moved past him and ducked out. Again the door slid shut and clamped. The hiss of air breathed against the Inquisitor's brittle lashes. His expression was unreadable.
"The Lord Commander proposed a motion to suspend the Inquisition from the High 12. He did what? Has he completely lost his mind? Perhaps. But for once, leveler heads prevailed. Only Tobris Eckarth and Mesring backed it. The Ecclesiarchy I could almost understand supporting a move like that. But Eckarth," Vangarich swore, "does that man even have a nervous system of his own? The Lord Commander was most aggrieved. I'll bet. The High 12 is fracturing, Drachan. They could be coherent at least when they knew that Udo could pander to their interests. But now, there is that."
Veritas pointed skyward. He didn't put a name to it, as though it was a demon that could be summoned by stating it.
"The paralysis. The disbelief. It was no different when Horus brought the armies of Chaos to Terra. No one, perhaps not even the Emperor himself, believed that it could happen, even after it had already begun. Terra survived the siege that followed only because Rogal Dorn united a factionalized military and wielded them with one will. You're talking about a Primarch. I'm talking about strong leadership. The High Lords would back it, if they saw it."
Vangarich shook his head sadly. Another age, another class of man. One could not simply replace a demigod. There wasn't one man amongst the Imperium's countless trillions who could even come close. But who said it had to be a man? What if it could be something more?
"We can speak more at the Senatorum tomorrow," said Veritas tiredly, angling his body pointedly to open a path to the door. "I trust that you can find your own way out." "I did find my way in," said Vangarich, surfacing from his thoughts and making to leave.
He paused inside the doorway and turned back.
"Where is Venand? You betray your care, Drachan, or reinforce your preconceptions."
A genuine smile stretched at Veritas's face.
"She works towards the common end, as the Emperor's Inquisition always will. And your guest?"
The suite was cloaked with a counter-surveillance manifold, both technological and arcane, and was covered by a psychically generated blanket of silence. But even with only Veritas in the room and Krul outside, who could possibly overhear? It felt unwise to mention their Xenos captive by name. It was like Veritas and the Orc Moon. Naming the thing gave it a life beyond one's control.
"Helpful," said Veritas, simply.
Vangarich let it go. He had more pressing matters on his mind. Beast Krul was waiting in the foyer, sitting on the edge of a woven aluminium chair. He unfolded himself as Vangarich walked towards him.
"Problems?"
Vangarich shook his head.
"Does Esad Wire still have his uniform?"
"He's been off duty for a long time. Even in KVF sub-12, that kind of absence without leave gets noticed."
"You won't be going back to Tashkent. I want you to find the Provost Marshal."
"I can do that, sir. What made you decide on him?"
"Nothing so terminal. I need you to deliver him a message. Tell him he has my guarantee that he'll want to be at the Senatorum tomorrow."